Well, my name is Stephen Smith, and I was born in the town lord of Ballymaconley, which is between Kerry and Resharkin. They say you can pick your friends, but not your family. And I'm sure you all know Melvin Smith. And I'm sorry, Melvin, but you and me second cousins. And that's a burden you're going to have to bear. Anyway, but just let us bow your head in prayer, please, for a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we give thanks that we're here tonight, Lord, and we just pray that you'll take the fear of man away. And Lord, we just pray that souls will seek salvation tonight. And we pray, Lord, that as the minister brings the closing message, you'll fill him with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just pray that maybe souls will seek salvation and God's people will be richly blessed. Anything that's said and done tonight will magnify and glorify the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in our Saviour's name. Amen. Please turn your Bible, that's me, to Psalm 1. We'll just read a few verses from Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word. I was born the 26th of May, 1961. And the night I was born, a fox came into our house, or our yard, and killed a pile of my father's hens. And he said it wasn't a very profitable night. He says, the fox killed the hens, and then he says, you landed. But I can tell you, I gave my father more hassle than the fox ever did. So, my father was a member of Resharkin Pre-Presbyterian Church, and he was elected as an elder there, and he served there until he died. My mother taught the Sunday school, but she retired from this position due to ill health. I'm the younger of two brothers. My older son is 2.5 years older than me, and I'm the better looking one, so he hasn't got a lot going for him. But we were brought up in a godly environment. That was children's meeting, Sunday school, church twice every Sunday, and a prayer meeting evening service. But I had no time or no interest in the Lord's work or salvation. We attended missions on a regular basis, and I was convicted of my sin many times, but I never did anything about it. I was fascinated with smoking from an early age, and I spent a fortune on cigarettes in my lifetime. When I was 16, I got a license for the motorbike, and I used to go to Ballymena and stay at my aunt's house on regular occasions. My cousins and me used to go to a sports club in Harrible and play pool and darts. I played gamble machines. I took alcohol. If there was anything you shouldn't be at, I was sure to be at it. I passed the car test when I was 17, and I met a girl in Ballymena, and we fell in love, and we got engaged, and she bought her wedding dress, and we planned to spend our life together. But on the 6th of February 82, we were travelling back to her house from a public bar when we were involved in a horrific car accident. That happened in Resharkin now, at Hassan Engineering. It was a straight crossroads at that time. They staggered it since that. But it was a serious accident now. I thought the whole party was over, to be honest with you. I shouted at Rhonda, and all she could do was groan, and I knew she wasn't well. I felt I was leaving this world, and I asked the Lord to save me. But this turned out to be false. I was badly hurt. The blood was spewing out of my eyes. I couldn't see. I had a fractured skull that finished up before I got hit in the back of the head with a shaft that was in the back one of the car. And when I tried to get out of the car, I couldn't get out. The fire brigade actually broke the door of the car out. But when I went to get out, the pedals of the car was against the seat, and my foot had dropped my leg out through the joint and my back, it was broke. So we had to wait anyway. But anyway, the ambulances came, and the ambulances took Rhonda out of the car and some of the people out of the other car away in the first ambulance. The driver of the second car and me went in the second ambulance. Now that car I collided with that night was an active unit of the Provisional IRA. They were out that night collecting protection money. And I kept inquiring in the hospital about Rhonda how she was. I wasn't in good shape myself, but I was still living anyway. And they said, wouldn't tell you anything. People says that no news. There's good news, but no news. There's no news. Right? The news came at the last. It wasn't good. She had pressure on a head injury, but such was the impact of the crash. She died later that night. The driver of her car, he died that night as well. And on the Sunday night, a minute's silence was held for him at a dance, and he was buried with a tricolour and they buried his cuff. And I've read it to you already, but I'm going to read to you again. Psalm 1, verse 6. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. My friends and family came to visit me in the day of that funeral, Rhonda's funeral. It was a sad day for me. I had to go to the city hospital to get my hip repaired, and then back to the Waveney, and I lay and tied to the bed for 8 weeks. It was a long 8 weeks, I can tell you, tied to a bed. But once I was on the mend, I wasn't interested in things of God, and I just went back into my old worldly ways. So one night my brother came in to visit me, and he was going with my girl at that time, the name of Jennifer, and they came in and they brought another wee girl with them by the name of Joy. And I didn't think anything at the time, but this progressed through time, and for some reason she took a wild notion to me. I spent the summer hurtling about in crutches, and Joy would come to visit me from time to time. When I mended, I started working with a local plastering firm, and I helped my father in the farm as well. Ballymaconley Band was reformed, and I drummed on it for maybe 15 years or so. 4 years on, on the 2nd of February 1986, there was an ordination service of elders in Resharka Pre-Presbyterian Church, and my father was at the front of the church laying hands on the new elders. And when the service was over, my father and Dr. Pace was standing at the front of the church. It was like an afternoon service that day. Dr. Pace and my father was talking about how many years they had met, because my father was an agent for Dr. Paisley in the political campaign as well, and Dr. Paisley always ended up in our house, you know, after a night's campaign, and usually ended up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And the good thing about that was I always get the next day off school. So I wasn't at that meeting, and I come out of Kerry to feed the cattle, and there was a man standing early in the end. By the name of late Sammy Bull from Port Denone. He says, Stephen, go up to the church, your father's not well. I went into the church today, I thought I would speak to my father. When I went into the church, he was lying dead in the hall. And you know, if that had been me, I'd have been in hell forever. That was an awful shock to me, but I still went on my own way. But in 1987, Joy and I got married, and we were married and we had a house in Ballymoney because Joy was saved and I wasn't. And you know, our church preaches as against the scripture, they'll not marry what they say about an uneven yoke, because Joy was saved and I wasn't. And but Joy is a God-fearing woman who has prayed for me for 35 plus years. And you know, I'll tell you a wee story about her. One day I was at home and I had a new tractor, and I was doing a job in the yard, and the tractor wouldn't start. And she says, try it again. I said, no, I'm not trying it again, for it not starting. She says, try it again. And you know, you married men will know when a woman gives you that look, you do what you're told. So I got on the tractor and turned the key, and the tractor started. And I looked over her and I said, did you pray? And she said, she did. So that's the answer. That was an answer to one of her prayers. Then we started a family. Janet was born. My eldest girl, they're all here. And then 2 years later, we had a Norway girl, but there was complications for her, and she died at birth. But she's in heaven now, which is a great comfort. And then after Amy was born, I started working Craig's Mill. It closed 7.5 years later, and I worked in Hutchins Engineering. And I've now been in McLaren's Feed Mill in Randallstown for 21 years. I'm still there. Now, after losing Amy, we were very anxious. when Joy became pregnant again, but everything was, Lord was good, Steffi was born and all was well. We thought that was our family, but a couple of years later when another one appeared, that's Jessica, last but not least, so that's the family. I told you earlier there, you see, I was shame I tell you, it was Joy who had forced our children were brought up the things of God. I didn't bother. She made sure Sunday school, church, Friday evening, night meetings, and taught the things of God. And that brings me to a verse, Proverbs 19:14, houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. I told you earlier there about my mother retiring from Sunday school teaching GEL Health. She developed that heartbreaking illness of Alzheimer's. On the 11th of July 2013, she was near the end of the life's journey on this earth, and she was very unsettled. My ring rang for the Reverend Millen in Randallstown Church at that time. And my mother was, she was wrecking through the bed, she wasn't settled at all, and the Reverend Millen came, and my mother was sort of deaf, and he spoke down into her, and he recited the 23rd Psalm, and he prayed with her, and that woman just lay back at peace. And she died that evening, and that just reminded me, for me, be at Christ, hence to live. If Jordan above me shall rule, no pang shall be mine, for in death as in life, thou wilt whisper thy peace to my soul. She knew where she was going. She knew she was for heaven. I knew I wasn't going to heaven if something had happened to me. But I'd like to ask you a question this evening. If something happened to you, would you know where you're going? That's a very important thing. But you know, I race pigeons, and Sunday racing made no difference to me. Sunday was just another day. I raced fifth scale cars. No matter what I was taught, I went to England to race fifth scale cars. Didn't cost me a thought. And you know, I went to church occasionally, and for years the gospel never fizzed me. The minister preached and preached, and I'd thought nothing of it. And I honestly started to think that I'd rejected Christ so many times. It says in the Bible in Genesis 6:3, my spirit shall not always strive with man, but I thank the Lord that's not the case. Sunday morning, the 1st of October, that was last year there, there was a mission started in Randallstown Church, and Mr. Good's red mark won. The text was his last 8 words, and they came to him from every quarter. And Mr. Good said, Jesus never turned anyone away, and I listened to that sermon since I got saved, and he said that at least 11 times. And my heart was beating still in my chest, and I knew that was speaking to me, that the Lord was warning me and letting me know that heaven was still available for me. I didn't attend the mission that night, for I worked night shift. And I went back on the Monday night, and Mr. McRae preached on the rich young ruler. Tuesday night, he preached a sermon on Lot's wife. And I came home that night and had a lot of thinking to do. Wednesday night, I was back at work. And boy, I was in bad form. The fellow I worked with since I was not in a good mood, he says, what's wrong? And I says, I'm not happy with my life. And he knew what I meant, because I'd talked to him about it before. He told another worker, he says, Smith's going to turn good living. And the other boy says, no, that'll never happen to that boy. But they were wrong. I don't use that phrase myself, good living. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Anyway, Joy and I had planned a holiday in England. She picked the dates so we could attend the mission. But the dates of the mission was changed, so that meant we were going to miss a week. And Joy was annoyed about this, but there was nothing really we could do. But Sunday the 8th of October, I went to church on Sunday morning. And to be honest, I never heard a word. We had dinner at my daughter's house. David and Stephanie, they live a mile away from Randallstown Church. And went back to the mission at 3:30. And Mr. McRae preached a sermon on three fools. The first one was King Saul. He hunted David. He loved David. And then he hated David because of jealousy. And then he started hunting David. And because the people said Saul killed thousands, David killed tens of thousands. And Saul would have killed him. And then he discovered them, and he said, I have played the fool. That was a king's confession. Then Abner, who was the chief of the armies, he came to the city of refuge, which was Hebron, and outside the gate he was murdered by Joab. Now that city of refuge, if he had stood inside the gate, he was safe. But he was outside the gate, and he was talking, and he discovered he had followed their own king for years, and that's exactly what I'd done. I followed their own king for 62 years of my life. And Abner was murdered just outside the city of refuge, and King David lamented Abner died. as a full dais. And then the third he preached on was a rich man going to pull down his barns and build bigger and store all his goods, eat, drink and be merry. And he thought he had everything. But that's what he thought. But the Lord God said to him, "Thou fool, tonight thy soul be required of thee." That evening I couldn't get out of church quick enough. And I went home to feed the cattle as we were going on holiday the next morning. That grum song of mine has had enough of me. But he went home to feed the cattle that evening, and we had a diet feeder in the back of the tractor, and that's just a big machine for stirring steadies and meal. And you climb up and look into that, you see everything's going all right. I was that scared that evening, I wouldn't go up the steps. But the devil's filling my head full of nonsense, but the Lord was speaking to me as well. And just before I went to bed, I drank a tin of energy drink, which people say stops you from sleeping, but it usually helps me to sleep. But there was no sleeping. I couldn't sleep until 2:30. I took a severe pain in my chest, and honestly thought I was dying. And this voice spoke to me as clear as day. And it said, "Abner died as a full dieth. Are you going to do the same?" Well, I just asked the Lord to save me there and then. I honestly believe that was my last call. If I had rejected God that night, I honestly think I would have been shot out. But anyway, I asked the Lord to save me. And at 5:30, I got up to get ready to go to the boat. I took the Bible out and had it in the motorhome because I didn't want joy. I wasn't going to tell her that I was 100% sure that I was saved. Now, we got on the boat and ordered breakfast. And, you know, whenever it's breakfast for me is not like a wee bowl of porridge or yogurt. A breakfast for me is a full fry, as you would know by looking at me. But anyway, I struggled to eat, and Joyce knew there was something wrong, and she says, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Nothing, I'm okay." But we parked up in Blackpool for the night, and I needed assurance. I needed assurance that I was safe. And we pulled up in Blackpool and we're walking down the prom, and there's a whole load of boys coming up, and they were dressed all the colours of the rainbow, and the way I'll describe them to you was Sodom and Gomorrah, and you'll know yourself what I'm talking about. And I had a real concern. I was really worried about them men, and that was my assurance, because before I wouldn't have cared less about them boys, but I thought to myself, them men's all going to hell the way they're living, and that really annoyed me. And that was my assurance. So we went to bed that night and never told her again. The next morning I woke up and I says, "Joy, I need to speak to you about my spiritual welfare." And she says, "Do you want to get saved?" And I said, "No, I really am." And Joy got up out of that bed with a bullet coming out of a gun barrel. I never seen her moving as fast in my life. It took her by surprise. And she got her Bible out and she read me Romans 10:9, 10, and 13. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And she prayed with me, and then I prayed. And I knew then that I was saved. And that week before the mission, my daughter Stephanie, she prayed in the prayer meeting. She says, "I'm so excited that my daddy's going to get saved." Now that's praying and believing. And her prayer was answered. Now we had a breakfast that morning, and we drove straight to Ambleside, and we spent the day there. We rung the girls and told them the evening that I had got saved, and they were delighted. And then I rang Mr. Goods, that's my minister in Randallstown, and told him. And he was delighted. I rang Joy's mother, and we told her. She had to ring me back. She was that badly flabbergasted 30 minutes later to hear all about it. We packed up Wednesday evening because we wanted to go home to see our family and get back against among God's people. Now, Thursday night, we were at the prayer meeting and the mission. Friday night, prayer meeting and mission. Sunday, both prayer meetings, both services. I went to Port of Nore Harvest on the Monday night. I went to Larne Mission Hall a couple of nights later that week. Now, there's some difference. The week before, I couldn't wait to get out of church, and now I couldn't wait to get back into it. And you know, in a matter of 7 years there, the angel of death came and took 3 people very dear to me in a flash. My fiancée in 1982, my father in 1986, and my child in 1989. Now, on any one of those occasions, if I had died, I'd have been in hell forever. Now, I put that question to you tonight. If this was your last night, would you be ready to go? Would you be ready? And would you have my Saviour as your Saviour? I trust and pray before you go out that door tonight that you'll be able to say that my Saviour is your Saviour. I have eternal life, and that's the most important thing in this world. But I also have something else that money can't buy. I have contentment. That's the best thing I have done in my life. And Joy and I read together, we pray together, and we're soulmates now for all eternity. And you know, I wondered when I got saved how I would talk to people. I have told my neighbours, I've told friends, I've told family. It doesn't matter to me who it is, I'm not one bit scared to tell them. And there's actually fellows in church, or sorry, work now, someone's saying, don't be cursing in front of that man. And I didn't tell them that now, so they obviously see the difference. And that to me speaks better sometimes than talking. But I hope my story will urge you to seek the Lord. My cousin died, and he was younger than me, about maybe a fortnight after I got saved. And praise be to God, his brother-in-law appointed him to Christ about a week before he died. That was a great answer to my prayers. And, you know, I just want to read you another wee bit of scripture here. It's in Psalm 34, and it's verses 1 to 6. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, I'm just leaving one wee thing with you, and I'm finished here, and it was Mr. McRae took that mission up in Randallstown, and he said a wee thing, and it always sticks with me. To lose your wealth is very sad. To lose your health is more. But to lose your soul is such a loss, no man can ever restore. And I always finish with a wee verse of a hymn, only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Amen.